Good morning. Well, as we said last week, we were going to take to heart what Virginia Stephenson told us in the introduction to this book, Consciousness Transformed, or the 1963-64 Hawaii Hotel Talks. And she said that Joel told everyone, in order to go further on the mystical path, we would have to assimilate the lessons of July 14th through September 30th. And continuing in that vein, we find the second chapter is July 27th, 1963. Nothing Can Be Added is the title. And it's rather short. 6.5 pages. And I thought to myself after reading it, wow, there's not enough here. I mean, maybe he didn't have much to say that night. And so I read it again, and I read it again. I'm talking about this week. And I read it still again and again, and meditated several times. And suddenly this morning it hit me just how deep this talk was. So deep that it went right by the brilliant human mind, and I almost missed it. And I don't know if I can get this message through to you today, but I will endeavor to do so. And Spirit is present. Now, he starts out with something that we've heard a lot of lately. Of those who have much, much will be demanded. He's talking about to him that hath, much will be expected. You don't prove your Christhood by getting. You don't prove your Christhood by demonstrating healing or harmony. You don't prove your Christhood by demonstrating supply. You prove your Christhood by demonstrating Christ, by standing in the glory you had with the Father before the world was and pouring out from there. And that means giving, sharing, pouring, loving, doing, being, all from within. The Christ gives. The Christ doesn't get. Christ gives. Christ pours. And that's where he's starting this. In the ordinary religious life, he says, the student is always seeking something. It is true they are seeking it of God, but this is not at all true in the mystical life. And remember, these chapters are, he has told us, assimilating these chapters will be the beginning of moving into the mystical life. In the mystical life, it is a continuous realization that I already am. I am not going anywhere, nor am I going to attain more of God than I have, more of good than I have. I am, rather, abiding in the Word. What Word? All that the Father hath is mine. I am all that God is. In other words, he says, sooner or later, and for a lot of us it's later, isn't it? Sooner or later, you must come to the realization that God has fulfilled itself in you. Not today, and not tomorrow, and not since you have studied the infinite way. No, before Abraham was, I am you. I am the fulfillment of you. Before Abraham was, I have come in the midst of you, that you might be fulfilled. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundant. It was true about you before Abraham was, not after you read a certain amount of books. And again he says, the message is not to make you spiritual, but to reveal the spiritual origin of your nature, the I am nature of your individual being. Therefore, at some time or other, you must find yourself in the position of Moses, when he was on the mountaintop and suddenly realized, I am that I am. I already am. Okay. It seems to me, and if you've been listening, maybe it seems to you too, that everywhere we turn, Joel is telling us that the infinite way is not a message. It's not 35 books at the library. The infinite way is not an organization in Arizona or California. The infinite way is not a man who passed on in 1964, in June of 1964. The infinite way is not a handful of practitioners that seem to be fading away over the years. The infinite way is not even a series of principles that you can study and learn. The infinite way is something far more beautiful than all of that. The infinite way is an inner experience. In fact, the infinite way is your consciousness. Your consciousness experienced. Your infinite consciousness experienced by you is your glimpse of the infinite way. And so Joel tells us, no, it's not a message, it's an experience. And he tries and tried and is trying to lead the students to this wonderful experience. And here he says, this message is not going to make you spiritual, but it will reveal the spiritual origin of your, well, your I within. Sooner or later, you must find yourself in the position of Moses on the mountaintop when you suddenly realize, I am that I am. My God, I am. I remember when I first had that very first awakening. It was 1980 or 1981. And I was in my living room meditating. My wife was out. I was in my living room meditating. And it was shortly after returning home from the Avila Beach seminar that Herb Fitch gave in 79. And I was sitting in my living room and I had this very experience. He says right here, I understand that for a while you are studying with the hope of becoming spiritual, but sooner or later, in this message, there must come an awakening, as Paul had on the road to Damascus. It may shock you, blind you for a moment, but it must knock the wind out of you as you realize, my God, I am. And then there's relaxing, arresting, and abiding in the Word, all that God is, I am. No more efforts to get, no more efforts to accomplish. And from then on, reading is inspirational. And I had that very experience in my living room. It was on Orange Grove Boulevard in Pasadena, California. I sat there in meditation, and all of a sudden I realized, I am that I am. You know that I am we talk about? I am that I am. And it was astounding. It was shocking. And I went to the phone. I had to share it. I went to the phone and I dialed Herb in Hawaii and I told him of this revelation that I'd just had. And he handled the pearl very delicately, very gently, and told me it was beautiful and handed it back. And that was the first glimpse of something quite wonderful. Something this chapter is trying to hint at. He's going to give us at least two, maybe three koans. K-O-A-N, the Buddhist cone that you can meditate on. The finger pointing at the moon. My consciousness, which is the I, which is the I am, has told me over and over exactly what this says in print. Then there is a relaxing, a resting, an abiding in the Word or in the Christ. No more efforts to get, no more efforts to accomplish. And from then on, reading is inspirational. You see, I have been shown repeatedly by consciousness in dreams this very principle. Many, many, many times throughout my life, this principle. It started way, way back in, let me see if I can remember, must have been 1972, maybe 73. And I had a dream. I dreamt I was in the Safeway supermarket in California. I lived there then. And the building started shaking like an earthquake. And I looked out the glass windows up in the sky because it was nighttime and there were stars. And I saw a huge meteor, huge, about the size of three cities, heading right for Earth. And the building was shaking, and things were falling off the shelves, and people were screaming, and pandemonium was breaking out. This is all in my dream. And I looked back again, and I took a deep breath, and I let it out, and I rested in one word, Father. And I awakened from that dream in my bed in the middle of the night. And that was the first time that consciousness gave me a dream to point out that we are to stop. We are to just stop. Stop, okay? Stop. No more effort. Just rest in this word that I am here. Doesn't make any difference whether it's Father, whether it's I, whether it's Christ. It's the consciousness, the conscious awareness of what I am and where I am. This is what makes the difference. And there have been, of course, many more. I've shared that one with you many, many times. Let me share one I may not have shared with you before. In this dream, I was standing before Moses and either talking or thinking or listening to something about the law, and behind me, yes, I was like sitting in the grass, and behind me were these two really ferocious, I don't know, I'd call them weasels, came up behind me, were breathing on my neck. I knew they were about to tear my neck apart. They were going to kill me. Of course, the two weasels, I know now, are good and evil. But anyway, they were going to tear my neck apart, tear it wide open, leave me there bleeding to death in this dream. And I felt the same panic that anybody else would. Almost terror. And suddenly, I remembered. And I prayed, or thought within myself, God, the real God, take over. And I rested. I rested. And I awakened from that dream in the safety and comfort of my bed. And again, I realized that the I can melt good and evil or the law. And that's next week's chapter, so I'm getting ahead of myself. But the point is that this is an experience where you glimpse your own consciousness and you actually feel it, not think it. There's no thinking involved here. It comes on you like a thief in the night. It just springs on you. You have the inner realization, oh my God, I. And if you're smart, you keep your finger to your lips, unless you have a teacher, and you can share it with your teacher. So getting back to this, he says, I understand that for a while you are studying with the hope of becoming spiritual, but sooner or later, in this message, there must come an experience, an awakening, as Paul had on the road to Damascus. It may shock you or blind you for a moment, but it must knock the wind out of you as you realize, my God, I am. And then there is relaxing, arresting, and abiding in this word, all that God is, I am. No more efforts to get, no more efforts to accomplish, and from then on, reading is inspirational. See, you're not reading to learn something, you're not reading to get some knowledge or get spiritual, you're just reading for inspiration, for a depth of consciousness, of which you already know. He says Jesus had the experience too, but it's not recorded what his experiences were. But you can be sure at one time he was a carpenter and a rabbi, and then something happened within that made him start preaching at the wayside and in the synagogue. He must have had such an experience, but we do not know just when it happened. We do know about Moses on the mountaintop, after he was spent time alone in the desert meditating, and Paul. Yes, Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul, why do you persecute me? Or Saul, why do you persecute me? And his experience was so great that his name changed to Paul. And we do know of John's experience on the island of Patmos, where his eyes were opened. It is said John spoke with the Christ, and his eyes were opened to God. That first light came, and the rest was just unfoldment. And see, that first light came to me in, 79, really, when I had that. No, actually, it was in 72 when I had my first spiritual experience. But this realization of, oh my God, I am that I am, came in 1979 or 1980. Or 1981, but no later than that. And the rest has been unfoldment since then. So he says, this is what is meant in living the infinite way. This message is not so much a teaching as an experience. It is meant to bring the individual to an experience that changes his life from man whose breath is in his nostrils to that man who has his being in Christ. Now, the man whose breath is in his nostrils is living by breath, isn't he? He's living by his efforts out here. He's living by his employment, by his investments. He may be living by the good of other people if he's a salesman. He's living by his relationships with people, keeping them good. He's living by his health and so much exercise and vitamins. The man who has his breath in his nostrils is living by effect. Living by effect. The name of this chapter is Nothing Can Be Added, but it could also be called Living by Cause. And so, the whole purpose of the message of the infinite way is to lead you to an inner spiritual experience, an inner realization, while you are outside of the mind. Because the human mind cannot know these things, and the human mind cannot realize them. Spiritual discernment, a higher faculty in you, must reveal them to you. And the purpose of this message is to lead you to meditation so that you may go within, and there in your inner temple, have that inner experience of the glory you had with the Father before the world was. I'm stuck on that because it's so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. And so true. So Joel says, whereas before you were trying to bring good into your experience, now you know it abides in you and you abide in it. And so the man who has his being in Christ is the man who is experiencing, or the woman who is experiencing, resting, that resting back, as I explained, in Christ, in the presence, in the Father, in the I, in consciousness, in the womb of creation. That one who rests back has their being in Christ, and Christ in them. And that's the purpose of this message. It's not so you'll buy books or tapes or gather together on Sundays and listen to them together. It's not even so that you can draw to yourself or add to yourself supply or companionship or health or healings or harmony. None of that is the reason for the infinite way. Surprise, surprise. That may be what drew you here, but now you're here as an advanced student. And now, let's get down to the brass tacks. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's get down to why you're really here, so that you may learn, I am, and nothing can be added. All that the Father hath is mine. Now listen, here's a cone from Joel, and it's so beautiful. It's just plumb beautiful. It's only four words, but you can meditate on this for, well, you can meditate on this until you have that inner experience, and then the Comforter will take you the rest of the way. And here it is. On page 259 in the chapter, Nothing Can Be Added in Consciousness Transformed. And it's in the middle of the second paragraph. Everything from God is, and is italicized. Think about that. Look at that. Enter into that. Let it enter into you. Everything from God is. Years and years and years ago, back in 1972, or 73 rather, I went to bed one evening. I had been studying some things. I had been meditating quite deeply. And as I lay down to fall asleep, I wasn't yet asleep. I wasn't really awake. I was in that in-between place. And I heard a voice just as clear as you hear me talking. And it said, God needs no prayer. God already is. Man needs prayer in order to let God is. Isn't that beautiful? And I jumped up and I ran into the room and I found my little notepad and I wrote that down, and of course it's in the book Steps to Mystical Experience. And that was direct from from I, from the Father consciousness to me, the outer awareness. And it's again that same principle, isn't it? You don't need to struggle. You need to rest and let God is. And here he says, everything from God is. I love that. I love that. That takes totally out of, it takes tomorrow totally out of the equation. It takes yesterday out of the equation. Everything from God is. Look at that. Go into that. You'll be surprised. Hopefully you'll have one of those, oh my God, moments. Now, you should be prepared to let the imprisoned splendor escape. Now you know the kingdom of God is locked up within you. You embody your good. You know that because you know I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. It's not that Jesus is within you, or Joel is within you. It is that I am within you. And that I is not a limited person. And he explains how your external self is limited. At 6 years of age, when you started school, you have no knowledge, but you have as much intelligence as you have when you graduated from college. There was a time when education consisted of drinking in knowledge, and educators actually believed it was their function to push knowledge into the student. Today, real educators, real teachers know that they have to draw forth from students what they want them to know. It is already stored up within. And a real educator knows how to bring it out. Which is why I give you, and why Joel gives you, these things to meditate on. I can't tell you, well, let me give you a lecture on what the I am is. Now I can give you a lecture for an hour, and you'll be very safe and comfortable to hear that, and you might even be able to pass a test on it next week. That won't give you anything. But what if I hint at it and point at the moon? And what if you take that leap and look at the moon and look directly into the inner abyss? What if you look directly away from the finger or the mind at the Christ? What if you really go down deeply into everything from God is? And you enter that is, and you experience that is, then you have it. Because what? It's an experience. A time comes when you realize I and the Father are one since before Abraham was. And now I do not have to add more to myself. I must pour out. In humanhood, I get. In Christhood, I give. I express. I open out a way for the imprisoned splendor to escape. Now, there are many ways to pour out. And if you are standing in your Christhood, if you have this inner experience that he's hinting at, it will reveal the right way for you to pour out. It will begin pouring. You won't be able to stop it. And it may pour out money, and it may pour out love, and it may pour out words of wisdom, and it may pour out healing, it may pour out prayers, but it will pour out. And we're going to get into a little bit more of that later. Now, right at this point, this morning, in reading this chapter, and there's only 2.5 pages left, I myself had an inner aha moment, and I saw the importance of this chapter. Whereas before, I thought it was, well, I guess he didn't have much to say that night. I suddenly saw, oh my God, this thing is deep and beautiful. One of the great things that is revealed to you is that God power is within you. And if you don't know it, that's another one. What is God power? That's another one for you to take into your meditation. Because we know, if we've read enough already, that God power is not a power over something else. Because then there would be two powers. And Joel has beat it into our heads, into our thick skulls, that there's only one power. And so it has nothing to be a power over. So that's not God power. Well, what is God power? And that is for you to go within and ask. And let that God power reveal what it is. This all is assuming that you're an advanced student and you know how to go within and meditate and listen. And get your wisdom from within. Let it reveal itself to you, that is, from within. So this is assuming you know these things and you're not a beginner who is just beginning to learn how to meditate and is still hoping to somehow demonstrate supply. No, this is for the advanced students. One of the great things that is revealed to you is that God power is within you. It cannot be added to you. God power is in you. God is omnipotent. When you catch this vision, you look out. Now, what vision? The vision you'll have when you take this into meditation and have God itself reveal what God power is. When you catch that vision, you look out through your eyes, and then you can smile. Or rest. Right? I shall not fear what mortal mind can do to me, what mortal conditions can do. There's no power out there, none whatsoever. Aha! So that takes care of the evil. But what about that other weasel? Well, he says it also brings another realization, which you may not like very well. There is no good power out there either. There is no power external to you that will benefit you or that can harm you. I am omnipotent, all power. Nothing out here, nobody out here has any power. God never gave anybody power over me. As I embody this truth or experience this truth within myself, I am not only immune from all fears, I am immune from world beliefs. And in the measure I realize this, I break the fetters for you, not only in this room, but right around the world. All right, so why does he say that you may not like that very well? Because we're perfectly willing in our humanhood to give up the evil. We don't like disease and loneliness and pain and sorrow and death and lack and limitation, poverty. We don't like that. We're perfectly willing to give that up. Ah, but look, isn't that a beautiful home in the country? Isn't that a beautiful house on the cliffs above the beach? It's beautiful. If you're a man, isn't she beautiful? Oh, the way she smiles, and even the movement of her hand. Gorgeous. Maybe you're running 5 miles a day, and your body is just perfectly fit. Isn't it just wonderful? See, but those things must go too. You can't have one weasel without the other. They snap and snarl at the back of your neck, rolled into a ball, almost one. The evil must go, but the good must go too. There's no power out there in either one. But this will do you no good just to repeat to yourself. You must have the experience of what God power is. You must have this experience of, Ah, I can rest because there really is. It's really true. My God, I am. And when you have that experience, yes, then you can smile at both of these. As it says in the New Horizon, you're perfectly willing to let them both go. And now you can have a glimpse of reality. Our teachers, in the infinite way, he says, have attained an experience that has set them free, even free of me, because they have attained their freedom in oneness with God. There's nothing they need of me. Nothing. In the degree of their freedom, each one is traveling and setting others free. But before you travel, you must be setting someone free in your own household. The measure of your freedom is the measure of freedom you can give, pour out. You must be coming closer and closer to the experience. And then he gives this little story, which he's shared before. He likes this story, about a young student in India who went to his master and said, "I know you're revealing truth to me, but I must know God face to face." And the master said, "I can take you to the door, but you must walk through." So the student was led to the first room, and he looked around and saw a bronze figure, and he pondered and he thought, "Well, that can't be God." Something convinced him that wasn't God. And then he found the entrance to another room, and there he found a crystal figure of God. He thought, "Ah, that's more like it, but no, that's not God either." Then he found another entrance to another room, and he walked in, and he looked around, there was nothing. And in the nothingness, he realized there can be no other God but I. And so he's telling us in that story the experience we must have. But it's not enough to know this story. You have to have an inner experience. He talks about Isaiah. Way back in Isaiah, Isaiah warns us that they put their faith in those two snapping weasels. "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots." And he says, today we put our faith in bombs and bombers. What people have put faith into will always fail until they come to that inner room and they're all alone and they have an experience. And its name is I. I and my Father are one. Therefore, what have we to fear? And this experience must come to you. Now, how many times does he tell us that Christ consciousness is a consciousness that doesn't fear, hate, or love any effect? And people are effect. And supply, or rather houses and cars and stocks and bonds and money, that's effect. Health, that's physical health, that's effect. So he hints here for us that we can't fear anymore. But we also can't have faith in anything anymore. And here's another cone from him. And again, it's just 9 words. And really only the last 4. There is nothing to have faith in. Just be. And there you go. Again, it has to do with that resting. There's nothing to have faith in. just be, just rest, just stop, just be. And so you are not going to have faith in anything. My faith is not in God. Why? Because that's two. Here am I, and I have faith in God somewhere. I have faith that I and my Father are one. How can I have faith in anything external? It is the faith that comes of the understanding that is incorporeal in my being, which I am. Now there you go. Take that sentence in the meditation. See what that brings you. It is the faith that comes of the understanding that is incorporeal in my being, which I am. And there you have it. So, we are not to fear anything, and we are not to love anything, and we are not to have faith in anything. We are to just be. You see what a different state of consciousness this is than the human being, even the advancing student that's still striving to learn something or be spiritual. No, this is, he's trying to bring the students to this mystical experience of I. So deep an experience that all the effort passes away. And they learn how to just be, or how to rest. Do you not see, says Joel, that if you meditate and want to pray properly, you must have no words or thoughts, no concepts at all? Just sit in a state of receptivity. God is in the still small voice, and when he utters his voice, the earth melteth. I am waiting for something incarnate in me. My dear friends, this chapter is leading you to a place in your inner being where you may experience the Immaculate Conception. Jesus taught the kingdom of God is within you. Where did Gautama the Buddha receive it? Well, he sat down under the Bodhi tree and meditated, and so he received his freedom from his own consciousness, didn't he? Know what you are doing, dear students, when you are meditating. Be through with words that represent God. And just be satisfied to sit in silence. It is from within me that the Spirit of God is flowing. It is from within me that this life, that His life and His love is flowing to the world. It is from within me that all of these things take place. Just sit quietly, be still, and know that I am within you. What do you have faith in, says Joel? Have faith in nothing. And that's the principle, he says, I want you to carry home. Be still and listen for the still small voice. Then you can prove living by grace. Live more and more by grace and less by words or thoughts. With less and less fear in the external, and less faith in whatever it is that you thought was God. And so that chapter is one heck of a chapter, isn't it? Because what he's trying to do is to lead you away from words, thoughts, concepts, lead you away from the two weasels of good and evil, lead you away from fear or love of anything in the external, and lead you away from faith in anything, in any belief or concept of God. He's trying to lift you up to the point where you can say, okay, no more words, no more thoughts. Here in my inner temple, I will just be. Not trying to get, not trying to accomplish, not even trying to realize. I am just resting. And perhaps I'll take one of those cones at this point. Father, what is spiritual power? Reveal thyself. Or, everything from God is. Let me rest in is. Let me rest from words and thoughts and just be. Let me just be. And in this inner silence, there's an experience that comes. The Spirit is upon you. The presence is upon you. You're lifted above the mind into the glory you had with the Father before the world was. Christ is upon you. And if you're quiet enough, you have the inner experience. Oh my God, I am here. I, since before Abraham. I that will never leave. I really am that I am. And then there's a relaxing, a resting. And when you rest in that inner silence, well, there's an experience that comes. It's not an experience that happened yesterday. It's not an experience that happened ages and ages past. It's a living waters experience. And the experience that happens in that womb of creation is this. It's consciousness forming itself. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And of course, God saw that it was very good. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. You see, this inner experience that must come to you is consciousness forming itself. It is creation happening now. As you just be, as you bear witness, the inner consciousness of I am forms itself, and you witness creation now, here. And what God says forms itself. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be. And you have to listen in yourself for what God says. Because what God says within you, what that still small voice utters, melts the the mental images, and you bear witness to a new creation. A new creation here and now. And I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth coming down out of heaven. In other words, I saw consciousness form itself. I saw creation here, now. No, this is not a night in which Joel didn't have much to say. No, this was a night in which Joel revealed the womb of creation and how you may enter it and rest there and behold the birth of a whole new earth, a whole new heaven, a whole new self. I am within you. And I have come that you may experience creation here, now. This is having your being in Christ. Christ is the Creator. God the Father, God the Son, one Creator. And in this consciousness, you have your being in Christ, the Creator, and you witness the creation here, in this moment, in this consciousness of I am. Thank you for your drawing forth this talk, and thank you for your gifts this week. We are very grateful that you are pouring and demonstrating your Christhood. And we recognize that this is the invisible appearing outwardly. Blessings, too many to count, but more than enough to share. Thank you.